This is the day you've been waiting for. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and you know just what you want to do.
All you want to do is ride around Saturday.
How do people learn? Hi, everybody. Rick Lamb here for The Horse Show. Kind of an odd question, I guess, to get us going. But the fact of the matter is, people don't all learn the same way. And my guest today is Karen Scholl, who is a marvelous clinician and teacher of horsemanship, a very thoughtful person who has given this a lot of thought. And in her career as a teacher, she has had to find ways to meet people's needs. Every student kind of needs to hear things in their own way. And she's decided that there's basically three different types of learners. And her job as a teacher is to kind of analyze and decide which person kind of needs it one way and needs it another way. So this is a marvelous discussion about the human learning process, which I think is key, because the whole horsemanship journey that we're all on is a journey of learning. It is a mission to get as much in your head, as much experience under your hands as you possibly can to maximize your enjoyment and the enrichment that horses can bring to your life. And also to keep you safe, which you can't ignore that side of it either. So Karen will be with us for the entire hour. Caught up with her at the Four States Ag Expo in Cortez, Colorado in March. Freezing outside, but we were warmed by the good conversation inside. And we've got some great questions from our audience at that event as well. So that's coming up for the entire hour today. I want to remind you about a couple things coming up for me. And this, by the way, is all on the calendar page at my website, thehorseshow.com. The Hawaii Horse Expo is August 15th and 16th on the Big Island of Hawaii. We're going back again this year. And we had a fantastic time last year. The event was just superb in terms of content and the presenters and the information. But also just being on Hawaii, in Hawaii, on the Big Island, amazing place. And if you are not familiar with the Big Island, there are like seven different climate zones there. So it's not like this you might have in your mind that this is all just like lush foliage and everything. There's that, and there's lava beds, there's mountains, there's all kinds of stuff. Fascinating place to explore. Details at HawaiiHorseExpo.com. Also, and this isn't so much an event, well, I guess it's an event for me, it's my first college course I'm teaching, 3.5 weeks at the University of Montana Western. That is September 21st through October 14th. The course is called EQST 454, Equine Behavior and the Development of Natural Horsemanship, and I am really looking forward to that. I want to remind you as we go to break here about my brand new audiobook. I've never done an audiobook before, but my newest book, Human to Horseman, is now available in audio form. 5 hours on 4 standard audio CDs. And this is ideal for people who do a lot of driving or who just frankly don't like to sit and read a book. Complete details at thehorseshow.com. I'm Rick Lamb. This is The Horse Show, and we'll be back with Karen Scholl in just a moment.
Want to put a little pizzazz into your trail riding and raise money for your riding club? You can do both by hosting a competitive trail challenge. It's for all riders and all horses, and you can hold it anywhere. But here's the best part. All the paperwork, insurance, and registration are handled for you by the American Competitive Trail Horse Association. Learn more about the newest family-friendly horse sport in America, the Competitive Trail Challenge. Call 830-693-2065 or visit ACTHA.us today.
Relax. Richie waters them right with the OmniFount series. The OmniFount features an energy-efficient polyethylene base, a stainless steel trough for even heat dispersion, and a quick refill valve that keeps water fresh in any climate. And every Richie fountain is so reliable it comes with a 10-year warranty. So for fresh, clean water year-round, choose the world leader in automatic livestock waterers. And relax. Richie waters them right.
Are you tired of the difficult-to-apply, messy, and stain-prone thrush treatments that were the only option in the past? Well, Farnam has the answer. New ThrushX Thrush Treatment 8 Aerosol eliminates messy drips, runs, and stains with its unique ability to spray upside down. Its quiet, no-pump aerosol technology creates a continuous, consistent spray that only goes where you need it. Plus, it contains copper naphthenate, the same active ingredient as competing brands. For more details on this new horse care solution, visit FarnamHorse.com.
Every month, there's hands-on advice from the pros in Horse and Rider, the how-to magazine for Western riding. Call now and get 2 years for the price of one, just $24. 1-800-829-3340.
In July's Horse and Rider, you'll learn how to decide if a particular horse is right for you. You'll get Julie Goodnight's tips for boosting your confidence, and you'll get a peek at Horse and Rider's newest online blog. Subscribe to Horse and Rider today and save. Call 1-800-829-3340.
Champion barrel racer Sherry Servi demands top performance from her horses.
When I feed Tin Man Daily 72, I see the difference and I feel the difference.
Daily 72 provides what every horse needs to live and work at his best.
I make sure all my horses get Daily 72.
Buy a gallon of Daily 72 from Jeffers Equine and get a half gallon worth $26.95 free. First 100 customers only. Call Jeffers Equine at 1-800-JEFFERS or visit jefferseequine.com.
If you spend a lot of time driving, I've got something you're going to love. The Horse Show to Go. It's a 70-minute commercial-free monthly audio CD with my best radio interviews and new content. It's everything you love about the Horse Show to go. The cost is $8.95 a month, and you can cancel anytime, so there's no risk. And if you order today, I'll give you an extra month free. The Horse Show to Go. Visit thehorseshow.com or call 877-THE-HORSE.
Now, back to the Horse Show with Rick Lamb.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Coming to you today from the Four States Ag Expo in Chile. I think that's a fair word, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Chile, Cortez, Colorado. I'm Rick Lamb, and my guest for this segment of my show is Karen Scholl. Karen, welcome.
Thank you, Rick.
It is nice to see you again, and I think this is the first time either one of us have been at this particular event, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a new event. New event for us. It's an old event, but new to us.
This one's been around for 25 years, I think. 10,000 some people will come through the gates. But this year, they're kind of expanding into the equestrian field, and that's why you and I are here.
That's right.
So hopefully we'll give them something for their money and their time. Karen is a master teacher of horsemanship, and she has found a niche that is so perfect for her and is so much needed, and that is teaching horsemanship for women. But Karen's principles apply to anybody that wants to learn anything about anything. And so I thought we would take a step back today because we've talked many times on the radio show about horsemanship for women and how women are different from men. There's a surprise, in case nobody knew that. They're different from men in a lot of ways, and in particular, how they relate to horses. But we're going to take a step back a little bit from that today and talk in general about the ways that people learn, because everybody learns a little bit differently. Before we get into that, I always like to set the stage, though, Karen, for people that are not familiar with you and the path that you've taken to this point. Tell us a little bit about your background, a little bit of your education, some of your mentors, some of the experiences that have been important to you on your journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was the horse crazy kid that was very frustrated because I never got to have a horse as a child. I rode horses, I drew horses, I had horse posters, I had the whole horse thing, just didn't actually have the horse. When I was in my 20s, I finally got my first horse. And when I got my first horse, what I realized, as much as I loved horses, it didn't equate to my skill and ability with horses. So even though I love them, once I got the horse, I realized I didn't know what to do with it. And so all these behaviors that I really didn't understand got to a point where I realized that I was actually in danger. It took me a while to realize that this was even a dangerous, you know, venture. It didn't look like that in the movies. So I pursued a pathway of education. I got a degree in equine science. I started studying from a variety of educators. And in 1989, I went to my first clinic with Pat Pirelli. And he had a very effective teaching system for me. I kind of took off with it and followed his teaching program and actually became an instructor and eventually the president of his corporation when he moved to Colorado. So I had a lot of access traveling with Pat and Linda Pirelli all over the world in literally hundreds of situations. So I have a vast amount of exposure to a variety of situations. Other people that have been influential, Monty Roberts, Tom Dorrance, and Ray Hunt, and folks like that. So I'm very supportive and have a great amount of respect and value the amount of education that we have access to in the horse industry today.
And it just so happens that when you were with the Pirelli organization, your headquarters
about 100 miles down the road from where we are right now in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. So this is kind of a little bit like coming home for you, isn't
it? Yes, absolutely. And I have some friends here in the audience that have come over to visit, and it's really like coming home, although I'm not sorry I missed this winter in southern Colorado.
It's cold, but it is so dry. I can't believe how dry it is. You think of cold and snow, and you think it's going to be wet. It's not. It's cold and dry.
The snow evaporates here. It disappears, not because it's warm, because it's evaporating.
All right. You, in your life, have, of course, been exposed to many horses and have had some horses of your own. You chose, for the ones that you kind of wanted to really build a relationship with, a couple of Andalusians. Mm-hmm. And let me see if I can get their names right. Bergante and Debutante?
That's right.
Why Andalusians?
Well, it was a long process, and actually Mr. Pirelli helped me with the decision. He asked me a lot of very key questions, and he said, you know, number one, take your time and look at a lot of horses. And I would get videos of Andalusians. Now, I selected that because my interest is in a variety of activities. I love to use my horses to start colts. I like to jump. I like dressage. I like cattle. So Andalusians were actually bred over many, many years for a variety of activities. And so I really needed the versatility and the level of intelligence and interest, because I do so many variety of things that the Andalusian is really interested in what the next thing is going to be. They're a naturally curious horse. And so I needed a horse that wasn't going to, you know, kind of get in disinterested and go, oh, this is just a job. You know, I want that horse that feels like when I bring him out of the stall, it's more of an adventure.
Doesn't hurt at all that they're stunning horses to look at.
They're absolutely gorgeous, inside and out.
You know, I remember a time you called me, and I was standing in my bedroom when I got the call, and you were asking me about if I had any, this was before you got your horses, if I knew of any Andalusians, and you said specifically, I'm looking for a horse with a high play drive. What did you mean by that?
Well, actually, I found that. I found a horse that was not, he's kind of a nonconformist. He's kind of like that kid in class that's always in trouble because he's so bored, the rest of the world just doesn't go fast enough for his mind. And that's actually what I found. I found him in Ocala, Florida, and it was the instant I laid eyes on him. Now, I'd looked at a lot of horses, but I looked at this horse from a distance, and he was on his hind legs pawing at the horse in the other field that was way far away, just going, get over here, I need somebody to play with. And he stood on his hind legs so long, I thought, wow, what an athlete. And they were very honest. They did not want to sell him. He was the only gelding on the property. And beautiful Andalusian farm. They import the horses from Spain. Everything was a stallion but him. They'd even tried to fix him that way. But his play drive was so high that he just would not tolerate the routine.
Now, why did that not intimidate you? You got this horse that's standing, you know, way longer than he should be able to on his hind legs pawing. Yeah. That's not everybody's dream horse.
No. In fact, people look at Bergante and they say, oh, I wish I had Bergante. And I say, no, you don't. And he's a challenge. When people see the demos, you know, he has a negative association to applause. I can stand on his back and crack two stock whips. But if the audience applauds, I mean, he's gone. Because he had a negative association, he was shown, and I watched the video. He won the blue ribbon, and the audience applauded, and he got nervous, and the trainer kind of bumped him in the mouth kind of hard.
Yeah.
He just bumped him in the mouth, and it was just enough. Those horses learn so fast, and to change his mind about audience applause has been a huge, huge challenge, and remains a challenge today.
Well, that was a perfect example of really good timing. Unfortunately, it taught him the wrong lesson, because he made that association instantly with applause and discomfort.
Just what kind of a learner are you? Well, when we come back, Karen Scholl will describe three different types and how the teacher must adjust to each of them. This is The Horse Show Live. I'm Rick Lamb. Stay with us.
For the past 11 years, I have been on an incredible journey. I have learned so much about horses, and I'd like to share that with you. I've written a new book called Human to Horseman, A Journey of Discovery, Growth, and Celebration. Now, in this book, I share my insights, the experiences I've had, the teachers that I've learned from. It's a great way to get started with natural horsemanship. $24.95 in hardcover, and I'll be happy to sign it for you. Human to Horseman. Order it at thehorseshow.com or by calling 877-THE-HORSE.
Champion barrel racer Sherry Serby demands top performance from her horses.
When I feed Tin Man Daily 72, I see the difference and I feel the difference.
Daily 72 provides what every horse needs to live and work at his best.
I make sure all my horses get Daily 72.
Buy a gallon of Daily 72 from Jeffers Equine and get a half gallon worth $26.95 free. First 100 customers only. Call Jeffers Equine at 1-800-JEFFERS or visit jeffersequine.com.
Relax. Richie waters them right with the OmniFount series. The OmniFount features an energy-efficient polyethylene base, a stainless steel trough for even heat dispersion, and a quick refill valve that keeps water fresh in any climate. And every Richie fountain is so reliable it comes with a 10-year warranty. So for fresh, clean water year-round, choose the world leader in automatic livestock waterers and relax. Richie waters them right.
If you spend a lot of time driving, I've got something you're going to love. The Horse Show to Go. It's a 70-minute commercial-free monthly audio CD with my best radio interviews and new content. It's everything you love about the Horse Show to go. The cost is $8.95 a month, and you can cancel anytime, so there's no risk. And if you order today, I'll give you an extra month free. The Horse Show to Go. Visit thehorseshow.com or call 877-THE-HORSE. From the 4-Stage Ag Expo, this is the Horse Show Live. I'm your host, Rick Lamb. My guest is Karen Scholl. We're talking about the learning process. We all learn a little bit differently, and you've broken it down into three basic types of learners.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the visual learner.
Okay. The visual learner is somebody that can look at something and see how it's done and then be able to replicate it. Maybe not well, but they can see it, and that visual information becomes integrated into their body, and they can replicate it. And the more visual information they get, the more they build on that. So that's a primary visual learner. There's a skill that you develop in any kind of thing that requires muscle memory, and that's being able to emulate something. Imitate is different. Emulate, there's a feeling to it. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful book called The Inner Game of Tennis that talks about this, or psycho-cybernetics with Maxwell Maltz, and being able to visualize even internally. They're realizing even in professional sports that the visualization process is just as skilled at training people as actually seeing somebody do it.
Well, and that's something that can bite you, too, if you're not careful, because something about the subconscious mind, it doesn't make the distinction between things that have really happened and things that you are imagining happen.
Yes.
To the subconscious, those are equal things.
Absolutely.
Which is why focusing on negative thoughts can hurt you.
Really, it does. And that's something that I've learned over the years just personally, because if somebody was struggling, I tended to not be very aware of that. And I would watch people in general with their horse, and you don't realize that your body is assimilating what it's seeing. And I trained myself over many years with Mr. Pirelli that I would only watch Pat. I would train my eyes just to watch him, and that took me to a completely different level. Watch their hands, watch their legs. We love horses so much, we tend to watch the horses. And then the horse does something, and then we look back to the human and go, now how did they do that? Well, it's too late. But if you watch the human, train yourself to do that, you can see what the horse is doing, how the horse is responding in your peripheral vision. So that's a real key.
And of course, you're imagining also yourself doing that.
Yes.
And imagining it, as we said, mm-hmm. Identical to the subconscious mind is actually having done it.
Well, and there's proprioceptor information too. So where we look and what we focus on is what we tend to do. So if we're going by an open gate, and in our mind we say, my horse is going to bolt out the gate, and the horse picks up on that. And then he does that, and we say, see? And the horse says, but that's, they almost
signaling.
Can read your mind. Absolutely.
You were signaling something.
Absolutely.
We talk about horses reading our mind, but yeah. They don't read our mind. They read our body. It's just they're very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And picking
yeah.
up this probe.
Yes.
What is it? Proprioceptor,
yeah.
Proprioceptor.
It's kind of like when you're skiing down a hill and there's one tree in the middle of the run and you stare at that tree and you hit it. You know, you got to stare at the space between the trees.
See? Focus on what you want to have.
That's it, not what you don't want.
And the second category would be, I guess I'd one thing I'd leave with, I think a tip-off to somebody who's visual in their learning mm-hmm. is just a little thing like saying, I see what you mean.
That's it. Yeah.
Now, what about somebody who's more an auditory learner?
Well, you'll hear indicators from them. And if you get to where you can really listen to people, and that's the development of an educator, you really listen for these signals. Somebody will say, I see what you mean. They tend to be more visual. Or they'll say, oh, I hear what you're saying. They tend to be more auditory learning. That's where somebody can listen to radio interview. People who are more auditory are more attracted to radio. People who are more visual are attracted more towards television and DVDs. So, you know, I think it's really important, people who are attracted to books. Some people learn very well by reading books about horses and learning techniques, and other people struggle with that. It's not right or wrong. We just have different kind of brain dominance types of how we learn.
I love the old radio shows, the old serials from the old days. They were so good with sound effects and music cues and all that. And you could almost see in your mind, you did see in your mind's eye what was going on there. I think sometimes watching so much TV as we do, the brain gets a little tired or a little lazy or something because it doesn't have to provide any visualization. It's all there in front of you. So there is something to be said for auditory learning.
Absolutely. Books are the same way. You know, how many times are we disappointed by a movie when the book was so enriching?
Because you have to provide both with the book.
Exactly.
The,
and there's
the sounds
no,
and the pictures.
There's no way, you know, even with what they can do with these fabulous movies today, there's no way they can create what the mind can create in our mind's mind. I have a much better imagination than what they're able to do technologically.
Plus, it takes longer. I mean, you might, if you're a fast reader, you might read a book in 10 hours or something like that. I mean, you're... Most movies are less than 2 hours.
So you're
engaged in it for a longer time. The third way that people learn is kinesthetic. Now, what does that mean?
Kinesthetic is that people learn by feeling something. So once they feel it, tennis, learning to play tennis is a really good example. You go out there and you take tennis lessons and you hack around and you hit the ball on the edge of the racket and you feel like a complete dork. And, you know, the tennis instructor is like, just keep doing it, just keep doing it. Just, and all of a sudden you feel it, you hit the sweet spot. You didn't even know that existed before you hit it. You didn't, you know, somebody could say, oh, you're going to hit the sweet spot. Yeah. And then you hit it. And then you go back to hacking around again. And then all of a sudden you hit it again, just even completely by accident. And then your brain starts calibrating. It starts processing that information. And then you start finding the sweet spot. You get the feel. And so even if I tell people, even like riding a bicycle, it's been years since a lot of people have ridden a bicycle, but you could still go and get on and not have to fall down. You know, like you did the first time you learned to do it. Once you have muscle memory, you feel it. It's inside of you forever.
You know, this whole idea of feel, this is one of those words that gets thrown around a lot in natural horsemanship discussions. And it's a pretty elusive thing when you're trying to talk to somebody about having the feel when you're with a horse. It's almost like that's the highest level to me. What do you think?
Well, I think absolutely, because it's, if you take the analogy of tennis, you know, you can go out there and just feel it. I saw an interview with Wayne Gretzky, and they said, what do you think, you know, makes you stand apart? Your skill set is so much advanced. He said, I can see where the puck is going to be. Now, that's a feel. He can, because he's seen the patterns set up so many times that he feels it. He doesn't have the time to sit there and think, okay, well, you know, one time in 1982, he just knows. It's just a knowing. But the only way to get feel is to do it. The analogy I think that's closest to how it feels to interact with a horse is dancing. Every woman remembers their best dance partner they've ever had. And they made you look good. You may have had a very low skill set, but a very skilled dance partner will adjust to your ability. Somebody may be very skilled, but not be able to adjust to your skill set. So to me, that's a masterful dance partner. And that's what it feels like to the horse. Only we're in the lead position trying to lead the dance with a horse, inviting the horse to turn loose of their physical motion and movement and direction to our communication.
Still to come, just how important is it that the student like the teacher? My guest is Karen Scholl. We're talking about the process of learning about horses. I'm Rick Lamb. This is The Horse Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Do you want to learn more about horses, but you just don't have much time? Well, I've got the perfect book for you. It's called Horse Smarts for the Busy Rider. And this book, I've put together more than 300 short topics featuring horse experts and my commentary. Each page is a complete topic. I cover horse behavior, training, riding, breeds, equipment, health care, you name it. Horse Smarts for the Busy Rider is just $16.95, and I'll be happy to sign it for you. Visit thehorseshow.com or call 877-THE-HORSE.
Relax. Richie waters them right with the OmniFount series. The OmniFount features an energy-efficient polyethylene base, a stainless steel trough for even heat dispersion, and a quick refill valve that keeps water fresh in any climate. And every Richie fountain is so reliable it comes with a 10-year warranty. So for fresh, clean water year-round, choose the world leader in automatic livestock waterers. And relax. Richie waters them right.
Want to put a little pizzazz into your trail riding and raise money for your riding club? You can do both by hosting a competitive trail challenge. It's for all riders and all horses, and you can hold it anywhere. But here's the best part. All the paperwork, insurance, and registration are handled for you by the American Competitive Trail Horse Association. Learn more about the newest family-friendly horse sport in America, the Competitive Trail Challenge. Call 830-693-2065 or visit ACTHA.us today.
If you spend a lot of time driving, I've got something you're going to love. The Horse Show to Go. It's a 70-minute commercial-free monthly audio CD with my best radio interviews and new content. It's everything you love about The Horse Show to Go. The cost is $8.95 a month, and you can cancel anytime, so there's no risk. And if you order today, I'll give you an extra month free. The Horse Show to Go. Visit thehorseshow.com or call 877-THE-HORSE.
Champion barrel racer Sherry Serby demands top performance from her horses.
When I feed Tin Man Daily 72, I see the difference and I feel the difference.
Daily 72 provides what every horse needs to live and work at his best.
I make sure all my horses get Daily 72.
Buy a gallon of Daily 72 from Jeffers Equine and get a half gallon worth $26.95 free. First 100 customers only. Call Jeffers Equine at 1-800-JEFFERS or visit jefferzequine.com.
For the past 11 years, I have been on an incredible journey. I have learned so much about horses, and I'd like to share that with you. I've written a new book called Human to Horseman, A Journey of Discovery, Growth, and Celebration. Now, in this book, I share my insights, the experiences I've had, the teachers that I've learned from. It's a great way to get started with natural horsemanship. $24.95 in hardcover, and I'll be happy to sign it for you. Human to Horseman. Order it at thehorseshow.com or by calling 877-THE-HORSE.
Thank you for listening to The Horse Show with Rick Lamb. If you have a question, request, or comment, we want to hear from you. Our fax number is area code 602-279-0980. Or if you would like to email us, the address is lambemail@aol.com. Now, back to Rick.
Thank you, Woodman. We are back, everybody. My guest is Karen Scholl. We're talking about learning about horses. You know, I think we're at a great time in history in that there are so many resources available to people that help them on the visual and auditory side. I mean, kind of the cerebral part of learning this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But none of that takes the place of getting out and having your hands on the horse, your hands on the lead rope, mm-hmm. you know, the feel that comes with it. But I think it, by the same token, in the old days, if it only came from feel, it would take you forever to get it.
Right.
Because you weren't engaging the mind in the process, too. So we really have the best of both worlds now, I think.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to know that there's a balance of that. And that people say to me, you know, they want to know why. Women want to talk about it. And there's an element of that. And then it's a stop talking and go do it. And so many people hesitate. They say, oh, I'm going to do it wrong. And I said, yeah, you are. That's just the way it is. And you know what? Your horse will forgive you. And get over that fear of doing it wrong. Just go out there and just, horses appreciate that you're even trying. Even though we're speaking kind of in baby talk to them, they appreciate it that you're even trying. And you'll get better and better. And when you get it right, your horse will get it right. And they'll forget about all that flubbing up. Your tennis racket doesn't care if you flub up. And neither does the horse, really.
Well, you hit on something there that I think is one of the
the key differences between men and women, and you've said this before on this show, is that women like to talk mm-hmm. talk about it. Mm-hmm. Guys will take a little bit of that and they say, come on, let's go out and just get on the horse and let's do this thing.
Right.
So that kind of brings me to the fact that in general, when you're working with a group of people, mm-hmm. you're going to have some that are more visually oriented in their learning, some are mm-hmm. more auditory, some are more kinesthetic. How do you, what are the tip-offs that somebody is, that you need to switch how you're reaching them, that they're just not getting it the way you're teaching it?
Well, I think it's very similar to the horse. When you can read the horse and see when that horse is mentally engaged in conversation. So it's just like anybody, you do, the more conversation you have with people, the better conversationalist you become. And that's a skill set. So it's the same thing with a horse. I'm looking at the horse to see if it's engaging. And if it's not, then I need to do something a little different, because each horse is an individual as well. So I read the participants in a clinic, and if they're engaged and they're nodding and they get it, you know, it's there. And sometimes you'll see people, they'll just be, they can't even take in any more auditory or visual information, and they have to do it. So it's always a balance of all three of those things. And then if somebody is really struggling, they're not getting it visually, not getting it auditory, that's an indication to me that they're kinesthetic, and I'll go over and help them physically. I call it kind of my puppet position, where I'll kind of get behind them and have them feel it, or I'll be one half of the body until so they can isolate it. Another piece you were bringing up earlier, I encourage people to watch my DVDs multiple times, and it's important sometimes to turn off the sound and just watch it without the sound. You will see things completely differently. And then other times, turn it on and don't watch it. Just pick up things around the house or do whatever and just listen, and you'll hear a completely different set of words. Right. It's really an amazing thing when you isolate these things, you know, separately.
The other thing too that I want to talk a little bit about here is, in general, how people approach clinics and mm-hmm. clinicians, because it's gotten to be a pretty big industry, and there's an awful lot of competing clinicians out there, and I don't know any of them that say my way is the only way. I don't know mm-hmm. I know some of their followers kind of act like that, mm-hmm. but I don't know any of them that really will tell you this is the way. They right. just say it's how I do it. But I think that's a tendency for some people to think if they go down, start with one clinician, it's kind of an all or nothing kind of a thing. You kind of encourage them to be a little bit more, kind of cherry pick the good stuff, don't you?
Absolutely. And that's a thing, especially with women, is women will say, I like this person, or I don't like this person. And I don't know why it is, but people want to come to me and tell me what they don't like about another clinician.
Because they like you.
Well, I guess, but it has nothing to do with the horses, you know? And so I really try to bring people back to saying, you know, if you don't like somebody, so what? You know, just ignore that part and look for the little gems of information. You may get just a handful of little things, and, you know, if they don't have good people skills or teaching skills or something, just ignore that part and look for what you like instead of focusing on what you don't like. We do not have the luxury. We're really committed to horses and horsemanship. To me, we do not have the luxury of putting our personal opinion of somebody in the way of us learning more about horses.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate on that. I kind of set you up for this. I apologize. Because there are, and I think the Pirelli system is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the Pirelli system is one that has a square one and a square two and a square mm-hmm. three all the way down
mm-hmm.
the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't really actively encouraging you to look outside the Pirelli universe. They're more saying, here's our program. You need to kind of focus on this.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that they're thinking is that eventually you'll get to the point where that other stuff won't confuse you. You'll
right.
be able to kind of put it all in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So can somebody who's really in the beginning take that hodgepodge approach, or is it better for them to get with a program and stay with it for a while at least?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a benefit to that, you know, in anything that we're learning. When you find something that you connect with, some people are attracted to a certain style of a clinician, and if that inspires them and that's the pathway they want to take, good. Anything that supports education is okay with me. And, you know, when somebody says, well, my way is the best way, well, everybody thinks that because it's what we know. I gained great insights and a great level of skill through the Pirelli system. Is that saying that if I grew up in France and studied with a Frenchman that had it, you know, I'd know any less? You know, who knows? So it's a very subjective kind of a thing. One of the things that I really try to discourage in this is the idea that education is competitive. We are educators. Clinics are one form of education. Books are another form. Videos are another form. We are all educators. And to say, you know, education should be competitive is like saying, well, my book should be the only book in the library. Mm-hmm. And when people say, well, if I get one more darn video, you should have a lot of videos. You should have a ton of videos. Think of how many horse books you have. You wouldn't just have one book. You have a library and a resource to draw from. And that's what I encourage people to do, even in the educational aspect. I'm suggesting to people, between 5% and 10% of what you spend on horses should be focused on your education. If you have 10 horses, you ought to have a lot more education than somebody who even has just one horse.
Now, you're somebody who went to a formal school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you
I have
did
a degree.
The formal education.
Uh-huh.
You got the degree.
Right.
How valuable is that?
Well, for me, it was very valuable because it gave me a lot of insights and perspectives into a variety of the horse industry. You know, there is no other hobby or sport or industry like horses. You know, it's highly emotional. It's highly subjective. You know, we just came from Road to the Horse last week. How do you judge colt starting?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like judging four teachers for kindergarten. You know, how do you judge that? There's so many dynamics. So it's quite a challenge for everyone, but a wonderful environment for bringing all the educators together and kind of breaking down the barriers. Anything that puts up a barrier to somebody's learning or says this is right and this is wrong, to me, that's just not an accurate statement, and it doesn't really ultimately help the learning process of the person.
My guest is Karen Shaw. When we get back, she'll give us a little glimpse of a unique way of loading a horse in a trailer, completely different than you've probably heard before. We'll also get some questions from our audience at the Four States Ag Expo. Stay with us.
The Horse Show with Rick Lamb is a copyrighted production of Lamb Chop Studios, Phoenix, Arizona. Unauthorized use is strictly prohibited.
Want to put a little pizzazz into your trail riding and raise money for your riding club? You can do both by hosting a competitive trail challenge. It's for all riders and all horses, and you can hold it anywhere. But here's the best part. All the paperwork, insurance, and registration are handled for you by the American Competitive Trail Horse Association. Learn more about the newest family-friendly horse sport in America, the Competitive Trail Challenge. Call 830-693-2065 or visit ACTHA.us today.
Every month, there's hands-on advice from the pros in Horse and Rider, the how-to magazine for Western riding. Call now and get 2 years for the price of one, just $24. 1-800-829-3340.
In July's Horse and Rider, you'll learn how to decide if a particular horse is right for you. You'll get Julie Goodnight's tips for boosting your confidence, and you'll get a peek at Horse and Rider's newest online blog. Subscribe to Horse and Rider today and save. Call 1-800-829-3340.
Relax. Richie waters them right with the OmniFount series. The OmniFount features an energy-efficient polyethylene base, a stainless steel trough for even heat dispersion, and a quick refill valve that keeps water fresh in any climate. And every Richie fountain is so reliable it comes with a 10-year warranty. So for fresh, clean water year-round, choose the world leader in automatic livestock waterers. And relax. Richie waters them right.
Champion barrel racer Sherry Serby demands top performance from her horses.
When I feed Tin Man Daily 72, I see the difference and I feel the difference.
Daily 72 provides what every horse needs to live and work at his best.
I make sure all my horses get Daily 72.
Buy a gallon of Daily 72 from Jeffers Equine and get a half gallon worth $26.95 free. First 100 customers only. Call Jeffers Equine at 1-800-JEFFERS or visit jefferzequine.com.
If you spend a lot of time driving, I've got something you're going to love. The Horse Show to Go. It's a 70-minute commercial-free monthly audio CD with my best radio interviews and new content. It's everything you love about The Horse Show to Go. The cost is $8.95 a month, and you can cancel anytime, so there's no risk. And if you order today, I'll give you an extra month free. The Horse Show to Go. Visit thehorseshow.com or call 877-THE-HORSE. Are you tired of the difficult-to-apply, messy, and stain-prone thrush treatments that were the only option in the past? Well, Farnam has the answer. New ThrushX Thrush Treatment 8 Aerosol eliminates messy drips, runs, and stains with its unique ability to spray upside down. Its quiet, no-pump aerosol technology creates a continuous, consistent spray that only goes where you need it. Plus, it contains copper naphthenate, the same active ingredient as competing brands. For more details on this new horse care solution, visit FarnamHorse.com. The wait is over. You can now get the audio version of Human to Horseman. 5 hours on 4 standard audio CDs, just $24.95. Visit thehorseshow.com to order.
The Horse Show with Rick Lamb is here every week at this time. So tell a friend.
We do appreciate your help, folks, telling people about our radio and television shows, my books, and, of course, the website, thehorseshow.com. My guest is Karen Scholl. We're talking about how you select a teacher of horsemanship. Karen, any litmus test in your mind?
There's two questions an educator should be able to answer. When was their last educational venue, and when is their next one? And if they can't answer those two questions, to me, they're kind of stuck.
So you want to know that they're always on the quest to learn.
Yes, absolutely.
And that they don't think they know it all.
That's an important one, because in the horse industry, everybody runs into somebody, especially in the early stage, and they say, I know everything about horses. And I tell people, what should you do when you meet that person? And they say, run away. Because it's just impossible. It's just absolutely impossible.
Well, the thing that I think is absolutely true, and it's borne out by some of the most brilliant people I know, whether in the horse industry or not, are also the most humble. It's
yes.
Like the more you learn, the more you know, you find out there is to learn, and it's a humbling process by
yes.
its very nature. It's only the fool who thinks he knows it all.
Right. And this is where I look at it sometimes when people are educating, and I listen to the information, and I think, gosh, this information was probably, there's so much more access to it now. Mm. And I look at it and go, this information was applicable probably 5-10 years ago. And that's why I'm always trying to learn things. And I tell people, the next time you see me, I'll know more. My trailer loading video is a good example. There's some techniques that were taught where you run the horse in a circle and you make him uncomfortable away from the trailer and let him rest at the trailer. There are some patterns of behavior that emerge out of that get people hurt. And I mean downright, hospital hurt, because you teach that horse to run between you and the trailer, mm-hmm. and that horse, all of a sudden, it has a pattern of doing that. When you block it, you may not have enough time in your presence to prevent that horse from thinking that 3 inches between you and the trailer is not a hole mm-hmm. that it can squeeze through. So I have a very different strategy where it's a pattern of back up, back out, in, rest, back up, back out, in, comfort. And it's just almost like a rubber band kind of a feel. And people see that. I get these feedback and says, I've been running my horse around in these circles because people have been telling me to do this. So that's what I really love to do, is to look for better ways, always keeping my mind open, always looking. And sometimes you'll look at somebody that's a very beginner with horses, and they'll do something that you've never seen before. So don't discount. Don't just think, okay, it's these masterful horsemen. If you keep your mind open and you keep curious and you keep looking for that cool little thing that's going to make a difference, you just never know what you're going to come across.
Well, it sounds like you're working on something that would be accessible to just about anybody. The thing, mm-hmm. I think you gave a good example with the trailer loading technique of lunging the horse or whatever, mm-hmm. making him uncomfortable away from the trailer and getting him comfortable towards. Mm-hmm. I think that takes a lot of good timing, a mm-hmm. lot of good facility with the tools.
Right.
You have to be coordinated. You have to know how to handle mm-hmm. a rope or a stick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And those are not trivial things. It takes a while. It takes a lot of practice to get good at that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that a beginner is going to, they're going to be all thumbs out there.
Right.
And that is going to affect their timing, plus just knowing when the right time to put pressure on it or relieve it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great that you're looking for methods that maybe are a little bit more, a little bit easier for somebody on the front end of this learning process to pick up. Who was your most important teacher in your career or in your life with horses? And what was the most important lesson you learned from that teacher?
Well, it's so interesting you asked that. I was thinking about him this morning. Obviously I spent a lot of time with Mr. Pirelli over many years, but I was very fortunate to spend time with Mr. Ronnie Willis. And he's passed away now, but the Road to the Horse event last weekend, I was talking with my friend Mike Kevel, and I actually shared one of Ronnie's tidbits to me, and it sounds, I call it cowboy riddles, you know, when they ride by and, you know, say something and you have no idea what they're talking about, but it makes you think. But his was, I studied colt starting with Mr. Willis, and he would come by and I'd ask him these questions. I'd go, okay, what do I do in this? And he'd just look at me and had this great deep radio voice, and he'd say, Karen, the horse will always tell you. And at the time, I was like, I was so, you know, felt so incompetent. I go, but what does that mean? But do you know what? It stuck in my mind. And then I started really listening. You know, we think that we're communicating to the horse, but I think the art of horses and horsemanship is being able to listen to that horse, and that horse will tell you what to do next. You know, Mike Kevel had a very challenging colt at Road to the Horse, and he was kind of going, boy, you know, how is this going to go? What's it? And I just shared that with him, and hopefully it would be something in the back of his mind, like it is with me when I start a colt or handle any horse. That horse is going to tell you what it is that he needs most from you in that moment.
You know, it's sort of ironic that Ronnie Willis comes up in conversation as he does, because I just started this weekly e-blast of pages out of my book, Horse Smarts for the Busy Rider. And the second one I sent out, which was last week, was a quote from Ronnie, a mm-hmm. time that he was on my show talking about the dominance hierarchy in a herd and what mm-hmm. happens when you introduce a new horse mm-hmm. into a herd of horses. So he must be influencing us or something right now,
because
he's popped up in conversation.
He's over my shoulder all the time. Yeah. I'm still asking him questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we want to include you in this, and that is part of what we do on the Horse Show Live format. So, if you'll notice, I do not have a wire on my microphone. That means I'm mobile. That means I'm coming your way. And
look, they're running.
I know. Everybody gets this look of terror on their face when I do this, but at least it'll take me a couple seconds to get around this fence here. So if you have a comment, a question, this is an opportunity for you to pick the brain of a very skilled educator and horsewoman, Karen Scholl, and you can ask her any question that's on your mind, something we've talked about today, or something else that's been bothering you lately. Comment or question? Yes, ma'am.
I'm new to the area and I'm new to horses. I would like to get a Mustang and train it. Basically, I don't know what I'm doing. How would I go about doing that according to your training?
Okay, well, let me ask you, tell me why you've chosen a Mustang, why you have that in mind.
I've been doing a lot of watching of Monty Roberts' mm-hmm. training videos, mm-hmm. especially where he does work with Mustangs. Mm-hmm. And I was very much interested in taking some of the Mustangs and training them so that maybe they could find more homes than they have right now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, in the beginning stages, what my suggestion would be is make training Mustangs your goal and then get committed to developing your skills. So if you take dance as an analogy, a couple goes to a dance class, the first thing they do is they separate them. They say, okay, you go dance with her, the dance instructor, and she's going to go dance with the other. And then they develop a skill set before they bring them back together. Mustangs are very intelligent animals, not more intelligent, but a different type, because they have woken up in the wild and had to, you know, hopefully be there by the end of the day. They actually have survived it. So there's a high level of intelligence. So they very quickly recognize that you don't have a skill set. And really what everybody's learning here is how horses communicate with each other and how to emulate what a horse would do. Not a dominant horse. I don't use the word dominant so much as the lead horse, because leadership is a different quality. You wouldn't describe somebody that's a great leader and say, oh yeah, they're dominant, micromanager, and a control freak. So leadership is what I teach. And if you can take a very easy horse, a less challenging horse, that horse will teach you the skill set much faster to get you to your ultimate goal of being able to train Mustangs and help Mustangs be more adoptable long term, because the BLM has a difficult time not just adopting them but keeping them out there. People realize very quickly they don't have the skill set. You're adopting a wild animal.
What kind of horse would you recommend for her first horse to develop these skills?
Well, the first thing I'll suggest to you is look at a lot of horses. I think one of the things we do, especially as women, is we just get bonded. We just fall in love. You know, we see this horse and it blinks at us or it comes over to us and the other horses didn't. And it can be whatever. And we just fall in love. And it's a very emotional decision.
It happens to guys, too.
It does. I know. But I just had a conversation.
Guilty.
I know. Well, and I'll ask people, they say, oh, I bought a new horse. I say, well, what was your criteria? They said, it was pretty. And you know, to me, beauty is as beauty does.
Any thoughts on age or breed or temperament for a first horse?
I would look at a horse that's just a nice natured horse, just kind of a low energy horse, not a deadhead though. You can get a horse that's low energy, and when you want it to go, it's going to give you some problems there. So a really balanced horse. But if you can look in a more experienced range, you know, 10 to 12 years old, a more mature horse that's seen a lot of things, you know, watch out. Sometimes people say, oh, it's a bomb-proof horse. There really is no such thing. And you want a horse that wants to do something with the human. A nice natured, not very challenging, doesn't have problems. You know, rescue horses, it's wonderful that people want to rescue horses. In my opinion, my question is who's going to rescue the human? You know, and it's about developing the skill set. But you'll kind of know it. You'll kind of know it when you meet that horse and watch the other person ride it, watch the other person handle it on the ground. And one of the key things you can tell a lot about a horse, pick up their feet. And not just watch them pick up the feet and then you be able to pick up that feet. When that horse recognizes the human as a partner, it's a very easy thing. It's not a scary thing. Because for a prey animal, giving up their number one survival instinct, you can tell a lot of horse just by picking up their feet.
Anybody over here have a question or a comment?
How do you deal with women that are afraid of their horse?
When we have fear, it's because we know instinctively that the horse is in charge. Horses and kids try to take over in the absence of leadership from anyone else. They're designed to do that. They're supposed to do that. It's their nature to do that. And leadership is inviting the horse to surrender his direction and movement to me rather than demanding. Dominance demands submission. Nobody likes that feeling. So I want that horse to willingly turn loose to me and surrender. And once we develop those skills, then there's no room for fear. So it's not, okay, we're going to get rid of your fear. It's like, we don't need to talk about it anymore. Let's develop your skill set, because then there's no room inside of you for fear. Why would you be afraid of something you're competent in? That's how we replace fear with knowledge.
We talk about a vicious circle. You know, when you lack confidence, the horse lacks confidence, and it goes around that way and is very negative. But the same kind of circle exists. The more confidence you have, the more confidence the horse has in you. And that's a very positive sort of a circle to have. But you have to start it somewhere. A circle goes forever and ever. You got to break in someplace. And I think education is how you break into that circle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anybody else have a question? Yes, ma'am. Let me get up here.
This isn't so much a question as a comment and a thank you to both of you for getting this information out, because I rode for years with the old cowboys who may have known it in their head, but they wouldn't tell you about it. Hmm. And especially if you were a girl. I mean, and if you got bucked off, you did get right back on. And I just think that this whole, your book, The Revolution in Horsemanship, is so true today. And if people want the knowledge to become better horsemen, it's available. And it used to be it wasn't available. You'd have to dig and dig to find it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. KarenShoal.com is the website. And it's got little videos of you talking and stuff.
It's a virtual tour for the audio people. See, I don't really care for reading the website, so I must be more audio. And so I basically tour you through it. I'll describe all the things, all the tools, everything, what makes a difference, why they're designed the way they are, how they can help you.
All right. Karen Scholl, S-C-H-O-L-L. .com. Karen, as always, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Rick. Enjoyed it.
Always good to get a few woo-woos in there with the clapping. Thanks to Karen Scholl for being with us on the show today. Her website again, KarenScholl.com, S-C-H-O-L-L. Don't forget my website, thehorseshow.com. If you're not yet a member, why, you need to become a member. It's totally free, so that part is a complete no-brainer. But here's what you get: access to all of the content on the site, plus my weekly e-blast, Horse Smarts, which you're going to love. This has a page out of my book, Horse Smarts for the Busy Rider, links to radio and TV, and I'm doing a blog entry every week for you, thehorseshow.com. Have fun, ride safely, and I'll see you next time. For The Horse Show, I'm Rick Lamb.